This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys news of the evening coming up here in about 20 minutes. We'll talk all of the relevant Cowboys headlines from the last 24 hours with you. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's NFL News of the Day. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. We do have plenty of NFL news this afternoon. And we start with Myles Garrett. And obviously, he is requested to be traded out of Cleveland, understandably so. He wants to go win. He's 30 years old. He's been, by and large, the best defensive player in the year, or defensive player in the league for many years now, and he's ready to go do some winning. Diana Russini says she still thinks it's likely that he's going to get moved, and Cleveland is kind of drawing a hard bargain right now because they're acting like they really don't want to move on from him. But the other aspect to this is the way they structured his contract and all the void years and how his cap hits have been pretty small throughout the time, because he's been averaging $25 million a year. But his cap hits are like 12, 12, 7, 8, because they did so many void years for the back end of the deal. But if you trade a player before June 1st, then all the rest of the dead money that you have spread out over void years hits
goes forward
immediately in this year. And they're already $24 million over the cap. Ooh. So if they traded him today, let's say, they would have an additional $36 million in dead cap right now on this year's. So they just can't feasibly do it. So I think there's a chance that this thing gets stretched out to past June so that then you can at least spread it out over 2 years. You don't get hit with all of it this year if you're Cleveland. You can at least spread it out over this year and next year. Yeah, and that's how the trade goes. So, obviously, a big-name player like this usually would be traded well before the draft, so everybody's got their ducks in a row here. But in this particular instance, there's a chance that Myles Garrett, if a trade does happen, that it might not happen until after June 1st, because then Cleveland can at least spread the $36 million cap charge that they would get for this year to then part of it this year and for part of it for next year. And if they were already in a good cap space situation, then they could go ahead and just eat it and no problem. But they're already right now $25 million over the cap.
It sounds like they should totally nuke the year, trade Garrett, eat whatever you got to do to get Deshaun Watson, release everybody that's good. And then over the next 2 years, with the good quarterback draft classes that are out there, find your quarterback and a left tackle or an edge there and try to emerge from it. But I would totally signal a rebuild at this point. We're not even trying to be competitive. And then that's the only way through this, because if you try to manage it while you're on the fly, then you end up like the Saints, where they have had a cap issue for the last 7 years.
Yes.
Because they went through the Drew Brees thing, and then before that could even get cleared, they decided to go for it again.
Yes, yes. That's a great point. At some point, you just have to sort of cut your losses and understand where you are and get a little bit more big picture and stop thinking about winning now. And they are in a decent place because they're picking so high in this draft. And if they don't want a quarterback, if they could find a way to trade down, get more picks, and really turn this into like a 3-year rebuild plan, that probably would be what's best. And I'm sure they're going to end up doing some form of that. But and I do still think Myles Garrett does get traded this offseason. I just now I'm wondering if it's going to be something that happens instead of in the next 4 weeks, it's something that happens in the summer.
Yeah, and Cleveland fans are used to extended stretches of, you know, being horrible, so I'm sure they'll understand it, but I'm just hoping he doesn't go to Washington or Philadelphia. You know, that's my main thing right now with Myles Garrett, anything but those two, you know, to make this division even more insurmountable at this point. I mean, I think Detroit makes a lot of sense, but it's fascinating because he could definitely swing the balances of power. He's that
totally
good.
Yeah, and I think this actually works to the advantage of the teams that are wanting to trade for Myles Garrett, because now you get to basically, you're sending out next year's draft picks for him in the trade. You're not sending out this year's draft picks. So you can still have, you know, use all your offseason assets for this season, trade for Myles Garrett, you're going all in for this year, and the assets that you're giving up for him don't start coming into play until after the season for next year's draft and ones to follow. So yeah, that's even more interesting, because then you can see, okay, what did we hit in the draft? Wow, we didn't get the edge rusher we wanted. Maybe another team pops up and says, we wouldn't have, maybe before all the offseason stuff unfolded, traded for Myles Garrett, but now with the way our offseason played out, we could really use an edge rusher. Boom, Cleveland will go ahead and make the move here. So I don't know, but that's going to be a fascinating one to monitor. And then the other one that Diana Russini noted in her little article here was the Chiefs' plan to potentially bring back their stud guard, Trey Smith, who is an unrestricted free agent. He's going to be a hot commodity out there. And, of course, the Super Bowl revealed just how bad their offensive line could be. And outside of their center, he's pretty much their best guy. Tooney's really good, but he's aging. So you have Creed Humphrey there at the center, and then at right guard you have Trey Smith, and he's in his prime right now. And she said a few weeks ago, I would have probably said not going to happen in terms of a return to Kansas City, but maybe Kansas City places the tag on him or something. They might not just let him out of the building here.
I wonder if that story pops up, or if it's just a coincidence, the day after Zach Martin announces his retirement. You know, if you're the Chiefs, you're thinking, we can let Trey Smith go. Now I believe you're down to Zach Martin or Kevin Zeitler as far as the top guards out there on the market. And Zeitler's the only other one besides Trey Smith right now. So, and I think Zeitler's like 35 years old. He was supposed to be washed up.
Yeah.
But he's had a heck of a year for Detroit.
1 year deal. But you know, that's sometimes you have the, you know, you draft four guys, they play well, you need that one piece. And Zeitler did. He played well on a 1 year deal, really, really inexpensive for how they got him.
Well, Charles Amenihu for the Chiefs said that he thinks Mahomes is going to be more motivated than ever, and he's going to be on a revenge tour. And part of the reason why is not only the way that the Super Bowl played out, but also the aftermath of it. Cooper DeJean, the pick six. I mean, you can't open your timeline without seeing another clip of that popping up. And everybody's hyping up Cooper DeJean and this Eagles defense and Mahomes, the conversation about him surpassing Brady as the GOAT. That door has shut. I do think you're going to get a revitalized Pat Mahomes. He's already cut his hair. He's going into professional dad mode. He's dialed. No more faux hawk stuff. He's cleaning things up a little bit. And then you
cut his beer intake down from 30 to 15.
I didn't go that far. Okay. I didn't go that far. But 30 to 15 maybe could make some sense. Maybe less of those mini ice cream cone deals that he was
paying for home last year.
The drumsticks.
Those are divine.
Championship.
I don't blame him for that.
You get a little bit fat and happy after a championship. He's going to be a hungry dog this year.
Well, and then you have to imagine it, the motivation will never be higher than after watching his dad try to fight John Rocker.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to restore pride to the family name, as you can add to the list. But I don't know what else he can do. You know, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe he's in better shape, but he's already a good enough athlete and was, you know, incredible at what he does. They just need more help for him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to get that just in terms of Rashee Rice coming back. And he was having an unbelievable breakout season to start it before he had the knee blowout. Xavier Worthy, the youngster out of Texas, he really started to come into his own as the season progressed. So now you have him leveling up even more. You get Rashee Rice back. That'll be huge. 682 says you don't get to be on a revenge tour because you got your ass handed to you.
Ooh, sure
I think you could be on a revenge tour. It's all
exactly
about
exactly what that is.
It's all about, it's exactly what that is. Yes. Yeah. And even if it wasn't, let's say, it only has to be a revenge tour for Mahomes in his mind.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was the king of making crap up just to psych himself out and be the best version of himself.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I think they got a little bit bored with it. And losing, being humiliated, inspires him in a way that probably is a little hasn't felt in a while at this point. There's something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that will definitely give him the best chance of probably extending his career. Maybe that's the loss they needed at this point as he turns to the other side of 30.
And it's clips like this that are probably replaying in his mind as Cooper DeJean pick six in the Super Bowl, sat down with Pardon My Take. How many times have you watched that play over and over again, Cooper?
So many times.
Yeah,
so many
I love
times.
That.
It's filled up on my phone so many times. I've watched it every time, probably.
So, and Cooper DeJean is all of us. Why wouldn't you? Like I said, I can't even open my own Twitter timeline without seeing that like once a day pop up in some form or fashion. Cooper DeJean stops down and soaks it in every single time.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was so unexpected that some of the decisions and the throws that were made. Do you guys think that if they lined up again right now, we'd have a similar result? Yeah. Or what kind of a game would you expect?
No, I would. Given, okay, all things are equal. Kansas City has the same offensive line. And yeah, absolutely.
Wow, breaking news, 940 saying the Rocker fight was called off today. And I just got that confirmed.
Thank God.
Mahomes' agent, Pat Mahomes, the quarterback, and his wife Brittany apparently intervened and said there's no way this fight happens. So that's from Barstool's CEO, president guy, Dave Portnoy, the one who was putting on the fight for Rough and Rowdy.
I mean, like you were saying yesterday, if you're junior, you're like, Dad, I'll give you the 85 grand. You're not fighting this steroid.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Are you bummed out in any way to hear that news? Were you kind of excited to see how that, or was it, were you so terrified for the life of Pat Mahomes Sr. that it wouldn't even have been worth?
I mean, as long as he was saying, I'm going to whoop your ass, I would have figured this guy's going to go in there with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth like Brad Pitt in Fight Club and tune somebody up. This is going to be electric, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
you would have gotten ball sacked on that one, I think.
I think
this was going to end poorly for him.
Yeah.
So good news for Pat Mahomes. That's got to be a bit of a stress reliever because it's been a bad couple of weeks for him. Knowing that your dad was going to get in the ring with Rocker, that would have been insane. Now, there was also an unnamed Jets player that was followed from New York City and then robbed. It took place in New Jersey. We don't know who the Jets player is yet, but apparently it was a group of men exiting an SUV in Windmill Pond neighborhood in Morristown.
Yeah.
And they just took money and personal items from a Jets player and a couple of his buddies. Didn't hurt him or anything, but it was at gunpoint.
Well, I would say we need to temporarily suspend any possible local state gun laws against pro athletes carrying guns. You know, if I'm in one of these states where you can't have a gun, like pick up a newspaper. This is the Jets. You can't really have a gun in New York City. Can't have a gun some places.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get traded, boss. Agent man, get me to some place where I can protect myself. Because we had the initial round, but as I said yesterday, now we have copycat burglars. This is the thing to do now because of the tremendous amount of wealth that they have. It's either that or armed security with you. And as we've been through, that can be hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. If you want multiple guys.
Yeah, because who knows if this is one of their big money superstar players or if this is kind of low end on the totem pole guys who it's not like he's got personal security money kind of thing.
I mean, a lot of guys have something of worth. Is that a watch that's $20,000? Just one watch would, you know, be a significant score for, you know, burglars.
It's the right one. This was going to get thrown into biggest L, biggest dub, certainly an L for former Ravens star linebacker Terrell Suggs pleading guilty to threatening to kill a Starbucks worker, allegedly saying, quote, I'll kill your B word, A word, while waving a firearm.
Oh, so, okay.
This is something that took place a little while back, and he is now pleading
So it felt kind of literal with the gun in his hand. This wasn't like a...
facetious type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, this wasn't finger guns with the fellas. This was a full-on brandishing of a weapon.
Well, I know some people take their mocha lattes very seriously.
Very.
Chief, you know, I just go with the regular coffee straight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm the same way. But if you catch me without my caffeine from time to time.
Yeah, I will get cranky on you.
I won't go full Suggs on you. Rest assured.
And I don't know how people stand in those lines. I think that's probably what got them.
I stood in a line in New Orleans because there was one just outside the convention center and I saw the Starbucks there. Yeah. So, and then once I committed to being in the line, I'm like, okay, I'm here. But that was.
Can't you just put on your app and just order it? I mean, just order it on the app and pick it up as you walk in.
Yeah, but I'm not like a Starbucks guy like that. So I don't just have the app. I would have had to download it, log in. And so
that's the play right there.
Yeah.
See, that's the play. I might have to do that when we're traveling at the airport.
Well, you were talking about ordering sandwiches at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And then you just pull in. And it's right there.
That's the new hack. And I hate to say it, but instead of sitting in the drive-thru, if you're at a long one, you just do the mobile order right there as you're pulling in. Yeah. And you can bang it out in 30 seconds and then pull right up to the window and you're out of there. You know, that's genius. And that might be the thing to do with the coffee because, you know, Landman really put into perspective, you're looking at 4 to 7 minutes for some of these fancy coffee drinks. You got 8 people in front of you. It can be a long time in these damn lines for the right coffee. I'll take any old coffee. I mean, they're all pretty dang good, except for the donut shop coffee. I don't know what's going on with that. You know, some of those oil change coffee spots you get to as well. Those can be
They just go out back and just grab some dirt.
They make it look nice though. I mean, I don't drink coffee, but the coffee station looks respectable. Like I got to get my oil change here in a little bit. I'm going to probably do a surveillance on that, you know, and see what's happening. Yep. But it looks nice, but it probably tastes like trash.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, a lot of them these days are doing the Keurig, so you get the individual cup, and that's hard to screw up. I guess I'm thinking of back in the day when that old stale pot would be sitting there.
Oh, that
hadn't been fresh brewed, but it's still like screaming hot. Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Football's finest coming up at 5:00. We'll have more football headlines for you. But up next, would it be a good idea to already do an extension with this Cowboy as well? It's coming up next in the Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. We were talking to Myles Garrett and the possibility of a trade. So I looked up just the betting odds on it. Where are they currently? And not only are the Commanders and Eagles the favorites to land him in a potential trade, but they are more likely to have Myles Garrett on their team next year than the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So that's rough. I guess I would rather have him go to Washington because Philadelphia is so loaded already. It would push them over the top. It would make them back-to-back champions. Mm-hmm. I don't want them, you know, sniffing at a three-peat for sure. And I guess it'd be cool to watch a rookie. If I got to pick one of them, it'd be cool to watch the guy Jaden Daniels get one. I don't know though. That's tough. Now the Bills are fourth, the Lions fifth,
at plus 650. So there are a lot of teams with odds. The Packers at 1,200, the Chiefs at plus 1,400. I don't see the Cowboys anywhere on these odds, and that is unfortunate. ESPN suggesting the Cowboys do an early extension for Daron Bland. This is Aaron Schatz in his ESPN insider NFL stuff. Says there have been some questions about extending Bland going into the final year of his rookie contract after he missed much of 24 with injuries. Frankly, he could be a bit overrated after his performance in 2023, because there's a lot of randomness involved in getting five pick sixes. Still, Bland is strong in coverage. Even without any picks in 24, he had an above average coverage DVOA in his seven appearances. Extending Bland would lock down the cornerback spot from Trayvon Diggs and allow Dallas to add some cap space, actually. Spotrac puts his value at 23.7. They suggest 4 years and $94.5 million in new money for Daron Bland. I think if you got a player who's pretty good in coverage and goes and gets the ball like he does and can make plays with it, that is definitely the kind of guy that I want to pay. But I don't feel like he's one of the elite corners in the game. So I could see this either way from a team-building perspective, especially after a year off of the injury. But he's one of those other guys that's 3 years in and, you know, is eligible now for an extension. Would you guys do it right now?
I think I would. And I'm going to ask you this question, guys. He's better than Diggs, isn't he?
Yes.
Diggs is a $19 million a year player for you.
You know, it's an interesting one because Diggs's contract is technically, like, very manageable. You could get out of it now before a roster bonus.
Total value of it is not. I just looked it up on I was curious. It looks like to me it's $97 million of total value, 19.4 a year, total guarantee of 42.3, fully guaranteed is 33.3. And it's you carry it till 2029.
Yeah, if he's better or if Diggs, I think Diggs could still have a better season than Daron Bland. I would love to have them both, but I don't know if the Cowboys look at it like that or if we can only pay one. I think he'd probably go with Bland at this point because he's a little bit younger and less injury prone, less catastrophic injuries.
Yeah, there was a time in my life I could have played this game, whereas you start taking the top cornerbacks in the league and just going by their salary and go down until you say he's better, he's better, he's better, he's not better.
Hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. But, I mean, I don't see all these games like I would, but I wonder on this list, you look at I mentioned Diggs, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, kind of in the same boat with Diggs. This Tyson Campbell from the Jaguars, kind of the same boat. Ladarius Sneed from the Titans, same boat. Jarius Johnson, we've talked about him. Jalen Johnson from the Bears, a $19 million corner there. There was some talk about him potentially being, traded, and we're like, oh yeah, we're interested, but it's going to cost. Yeah, I just kind of wonder if he's better than those guys. Just the guys that I named that we're, like I said, I used to know all these guys in the league because of being in pro personnel.
I mean, do you want to pay anybody that's not lockdown, tackling and ball skills? Yeah. When you're talking about $23 million, I think there's a conversation to be had there.
Yeah.
But right now, they have a path to being a great defense. I think if you had Micah, Diggs, and Bland healthy at the same time, you're in a hell of a situation to give yourself a chance to be a great takeaway defense.
He's the type of player you would think you could get to kind of capitulate on the number if you're willing to get at it early, because he was not a high draft pick. It's not like he's made much money to this point. He just saw how quickly and how flimsy this thing can be when you break your foot and you miss majority of the season. Is he the type of player that you could come with a below market offer that he would just be like, you know what, give me the security and whatever the Diggs deal was, I'll just take that. You say no, Broadus.
I look across the field and I see who I'm playing with and I'm saying absolutely not.
Yeah, but you look across the field and you see who you're playing with, and you can see just how quickly, thank God, Diggs was able to get his deal before he got injured.
No question.
You just got injured. Yeah. You haven't made that much money. Do you want to risk one more season where you get injured again and all of a sudden now you're a free agent, you haven't made that much money,
I think they could sacrifice Diggs. I think they could sacrifice Diggs. Just my personal thought of that, if you look at the player, I would much rather have Bland than I would Diggs.
Me too.
And at $19 million, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, 19 million for sure. Yeah. 19 million. That's what I'm saying. You come to him with that deal and you sign that.
Yeah. If you come close to what that number is, then yeah, you could probably get him to. But if I'm him, I'm like, he's not better than me.
I'm not trying to wait and go for 23 when 19's in my hand. You know, yeah. I don't know why. I guess a lot of these players listen to agents and they say, well, they're probably going to pay you anyway, or this is worst case scenario. But man, I would be the guy wanting to sign early to secure the generational wealth. And then if a third contract is there for the taking, maybe we could get greedy at that point.
Yeah. You get a guy like Awuzie. I'm just looking at numbers. Awuzie with the Titans. Yeah, he makes $12 million a year. You know, to me, bland all day.
Yeah.
So find that between 19 and say 14.
Well, your projection's like in the mid 20s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's basically resetting the market. Like Jalen Ramsey at $24 million right now.
Ramsey.
Pat Surtain, same thing. Those are the highest paid dudes.
Absolutely.
Bland, take 19, take 20. Now you're like fifth, sixth highest paid corner. And you have the security and the peace of mind.
I would take more than Diggs if that
agent
was the
man's
case.
Telling you the cap went up 10%. Yeah. You know, you got to take what's owed to you at this point. Since that other contract has been signed, the cap has gone up $40 million. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to continue to advance this, and we're looking at a percentage of the cap instead of that raw number with how this thing's accelerating so quickly. How will the Cowboys replace Zach Martin is a very interesting topic. Brock Hoffman last year, good enough versus bad defenders, struggled against good players.
Yeah.
Could he figure it out? Cooper Beebe, I do like the idea, guys, of drafting a center at 44 and playing Beebe at right guard if that's possible, or drafting a right guard. I'm flexible there.
Go for the guard before the center.
Really?
You're
going
to have a better chance of grabbing it. If you're interested in picking a lineman at 44 that way, go ahead and draft the center there. Or, excuse me, draft the guard to play and leave BB at center.
Yeah, I think if you want an offensive lineman, to me, Broadus, the guy that is most interesting to me in round one, if he falls to you, and plenty of mocks have him going just before you pick at 12, but I think Brugler mentioned to him, mentioned him to us yesterday, the 20-year-old out of Missouri, Armon Membu, mm-hmm. who is a right tackle, who many believe he can play tackle, but also could be an awesome guard. And I think the athleticism is impressive. He says explosive, controlled, and pass pro finisher in the run game, and he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
He could play tackle or guard, plug and play immediately, right guard right there. I'd be totally down for that.
Yeah, you know, it's the interesting thing about him is he didn't give up a sack in 416 dropbacks this year.
Wow.
He's just allowed 9 hurries.
In the SEC.
Yeah, but
Why haven't we heard more about him up to this point?
He's a much better pass rusher, a pass blocker than he is a run blocker, and he'll come off the ball. He doesn't have sustain. He really lacks sustain as a run blocker, and I know we've talked about, and the reason I haven't brought him up a bunch is because when you start to talk about, hey, they need an offensive line, need to run the ball. I think if you're one of these tackles or guards that doesn't have the ability to sustain blocks, you're probably not going to be good enough for that. You know,
how coachable is that?
Everything's coachable. Everything's coachable. But your ability to strain and finish blocks is something that's in you. You know, where's your ability to get into your guy, get your hands inside, and push these guys? You know, and I think he's an outstanding pass blocker. I have my questions, you know, about him as a run blocker, and that's why to me, I see him being a lot higher guy. I have him in the second round. I don't have a first round grade on my board. I would rather have somebody like Banks, the Texas kid, over this type of a player. If you're talking about, you know, there's not a nasty side to this guy's game. He is a very much a control player, but you could, you know, there's some offensive linemen that you think they aren't very nasty guys, and then they kind of develop that. But this is a guy that doesn't have that kind of desire to bury somebody at the whistle. Mm. But he could pass block all day. That's something he's got the ability to.
So is it a prerequisite that you're getting a guy who's going to get after it in the run game at right guard?
I'm going to take one of these guards. I'm going to take, for example, I'm going to take the Alabama kid if he was there.
Booker.
Booker is who I would take. Because what I know at Booker, Tyler Booker is 6'5", he's 325 pounds. He's massive. He moves well. He can play both guard spots. He's when he comes off the ball, he gets movement right off it.
And you're doing that at 44 or 12?
I'm trying to do it. He's probably going to be gone before I pick at 44. But then I'm thinking about, okay, how about Donovan Jackson from Ohio State? Here's another guy, 6'4", 320 pounds. Yeah, there might be a possibility of him being there at 44. This guy played left tackle. He played left guard. I mean, you watch him play. He's got the same kind of mentality that I just talked about with Booker. I mean, he's a high IQ player. You see they try and run stunts on him. He's right there. He picks it up, whether he's a tackle or a guard. Yeah, he brings a physical presence to the game. Those are the types of guys I'm trying to get inside.
So you don't like the internal options of a T.J. Bass or an Awesome Richards, Brock Hoffman?
I think that when you look
serviceable.
At Brock Hoffman for 5-6 games is great. Brock Hoffman for 17 games, no thanks.
Once he got up against the better competition the season went on.
No thanks. Yeah.
It was not what you want, but he is a body there.
Yeah.
So at least you have a guy and you don't feel like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. we literally don't have someone here. Yeah. But you would obviously love to upgrade.
No.
And you just heard all the coaching staff, the assistant coaches, when they were talking.
Toughness,
mm-hmm. physicality, mm-hmm. violence. Mm-hmm. So a guy like Membu that I was talking about from Missouri, maybe not. They might not like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, yeah, he's more of a get in the way on pass pro guy than a go out. No, he's
really good. Yeah, he just does not have that nasty side to him that you want to be playing inside and be moving. You know, you're in a division that has these big defensive tackles. You've got to find a way to be able to control the inside. The Commanders have big guys. The Eagles have big guys. The Giants have big guys. You're in a division that you have to play with some power inside.
I love it. Brian brought us heading up our draft coverage once again right here on your home of the Cowboys, best draft coverage in the country in any media outlet. Brian, where are you taking us next?
Yeah, I'm going to read some things about these players, some traits, and I want you guys to tell me if you like them or not. We'll do that.
Rangers are rallying. Thanks, Lucius. 2-2, top of the eighth. You had Wallach, Krim, and Hover with hits there to get this thing tied. So this game's humming along, though. Started at 2:05, 3:45. We're in the eighth inning. That's modern baseball, Brian. You got to love it. Here's a Krusty with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant for being along with us for this one. Okay, me and my newfound love for Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
If they knew how much I really cared about them, they wouldn't have been so mad at me at the Super Bowl, you know, and giving me the side eye and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of giving them a lot of content here, but they're putting out some really good draft articles and stuff. So I really like
We should screenshot this and tag them, you know, like Brian likes you guys now.
I think there's a lot of hate there.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. You know, I really don't.
It's a long process to uncrustify someone. Yeah, now. They have to at least respect that. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
And they should probably acknowledge that over the years, some of their stats have been horribly wrong compared to what actually happened in the game.
I think
you were probably set off for good reason many years ago.
Many years ago, I got set off. You're right. But they've rallied. I think they've gotten a little bit better. So,
yes.
But I do like I say, some of the draft stuff that they have.
It's a fantastic way to look at it because they have so much data and so many stats.
They do.
And they can tell you, well, actually, here's what a guy that produced like this in college actually does usually in the NFL.
Right, right. Like I said, their scouting reports and stuff, I think there's a lot of them that I agree. And I'm gonna read a player.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you the name of the player.
All right.
But I'm going to read him and I'm going to have you guys say, you know what, that player sounds like a good player.
All right.
But I'm going to do it from his strength to his weaknesses, and I'll try and make them quick if I can, okay? Okay, here's this particular player they're talking about. Strengths. Stance at base is wide and strong pre- and post-snap. Fantastic balance. Can slide mirror while in squatted position. Consistently low pad level at contact. Adequate length for tackle in the NFL. Footwork is quick and slide length is adequate. That means how he gets away from the line. Competitive player who plays through the whistle. Really good footwork when anchoring down. Weakness. Hands have a low starting point, which he keeps them down towards his waist. And then you want to always kind of have your hands up. Doesn't have true displacement of strength in the running game. So he doesn't move.
He's not moving people.
He's not moving guys in the running game. Lower weight makes anchoring tough, though knee bend and balance help. How's that player sound to you when I just read as an offensive tackle?
No, thank you. You know, I sounds like a day three guy.
Chief?
I mean, it sounds like as a pass protector, you're going to get mostly what you want there. The hand placement stuff that you were talking about, I feel like, is extremely coachable. He's a little bit undersized. Can I bulk him up and get him stronger in the run game?
Yeah.
Is there some elements to that? I mean, there's certainly plenty to like.
It's Josh Simmons, tackle Ohio State.
You love that guy.
Absolutely love this guy.
Okay, so the weaknesses.
This is what I'm talking about right here. When I wrote and watched, there's a lot of people, and it's funny, I was talking to guys around the league that if he did not have the patella injury, that he would be the number one tackle in this draft to a lot of people. Now, what I saw was this guy, as I mentioned, he hurt his knee in the second quarter of the Oregon game. He transferred from San Diego State is where he started. This guy's got explosive footwork. He gets off the ball well. It doesn't matter if he's going forwards or backwards. He plays very smooth. No wasted motion or movement. Effortless in the way he could play with body position and balance. Plays like he isn't even trying when it comes to his movement. Very natural. Learned that he has played both left and right tackle spots. When he gets in space or second level, it's a nightmare for defenders to deal with. He sees the target. He finishes the target. Plays with natural leverage in his game. Good job as a drive blocker. We'll get
Sounds like you're talking about a different player, Brian.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
This is Pro Football Focus computer guys trying to scout?
Yeah. Okay. That's what this is. So right there, and like, I think I'm in line with other scouts around the league. And like I say, if I was talking with one last night, I was like, what do you do with Josh Simmons? I go, well, this guy said, hey, he's one of the best ones on my board. But the patella tendon injury is, now this is could be a possibility for the Cowboys at 12 if everything checks out. You know, so
right.
I'm bringing him up.
Can there be a big variance in scouts in the way that you talk about strengths and weaknesses?
That was a huge variance in what.
But is that a credible variance? Yeah. Or is that one you roll your eyes at, is my question.
When I read it, I saw this guy differently, but I don't think I'm alone, you know. But there's Pro Football Focus. Here's another player. Flexible hips, wide base for powerful wide stance. Foot speed, explosiveness is top tier. Can move while in squatted position, low pad level. Great second level space blocker. Natural athlete. Give him high zone blocking potential. Really impressive balance for a player 320 plus pounds. His weaknesses. Height hints at shorter arm length, which shows on tape. Not an imposing run blocker. He lacks displacement to move when square with the defensive lineman. Too susceptible to push-pull moves. That's when they grab him, they push him back, and then they pull him forward to get him out of his stance is what they do. So like he's pass setting. They grab him, they pull him forward, and now he's off balance. Hands could really be more precise and at the ready.
So, I'm sorry, Simmons was hurt October 12th.
Yeah.
So 9 to 12 months from that, right. You could have him by week 6 at the latest.
The plan is for him to have a workout at Ohio State in April. There's a plan for him to work out for teams that are interested. Okay, I read that particular player. How did that player sound to you as an offensive lineman, as a tackle?
I mean, the short arms isn't the end of the world, but when you say it shows up on tape, now he's being affected by that fact, because I think we've seen plenty of tackles that don't meet the standard for arm length, and they're still really, really good. But if his become a detriment to his play, I think that's something that is probably difficult to overcome, not being able to move people in the run game that way despite the athleticism. The first guy sounds better to me.
That's Kelvin Banks from Texas, who I just read.
And his stock continues to just feel like it's falling.
Yeah, but there's things that I don't agree with them about what they said about him. Now, there are some things that they are absolutely right about, but let me give you an idea of what I think about the player, if I could. This guy's the starter at left tackle. There's some of the scouting world that would like to project him to guard. Shows I think he's got length and mass of position. I don't think he's a short-armed guy.
All right.
I think his compact build helps him be able to play with some leverage against the edge rusher. He has a good feel for initial quickness out of his stance. I would not call it great by any means. He does play with explosive power and the ability to handle defenders. Remember, they said he didn't feel like that he could move defenders. I think he's got lateral agility for his size. I think his ability got to recover against counter moves. His feet at times will get a little bit out of whack, but he's able to gather the things back and complete the block. Can anchor down against power moves, strong lower body with ability to sit down on rushers. Shows good hand use and capable of holding him off with good initial punch that allows him to maintain control. I see a much better player than they have him mm-hmm. as. So there once again, two different looks at two players, but two players that the Dallas Cowboys could clearly look at that spot.
Sounds like there's some haters on these offensive linemen, Brian.
It does sound like. Okay, here's one more player for you. This guy's strength. Well-built player, incredibly strong, especially with his momentum and raw strength. Explosiveness are evident and consistently. He has the build to play both end and defensive tackle. Good effort to whistle. Weakness. Looks less out of control. Looked less out of control in 2024, but still needs to be more purposeful in what he does. Lacks a go-to pass rush move.
Talking about Mason Graham?
No. Talking about Walter Nolan.
Walter Nolan.
Mm. See, that's the guy we were talking about the other day.
Cowboys seem to like him.
And the Cowboys seem to like him. And I went through some back channels because I was curious about with Daniel Jeremiah, did he pick in his mock draft this guy because he knew something? And the back channels told me no. He just thought it was a fit because of the potentially of losing Osa Odighizuwa.
Mm. Well, you better be right if that's the player you're going to take.
Yeah. Did these guys sound a lot worse than they really were? Did they sound worse?
Yeah, based on your scouting reports.
Yeah.
Compared to theirs, it seems like you like these guys more than...
I do. Walter Nolan is a second-round guy on my board. I don't think I would take him at 12. And there's some things that they're absolutely right about his weakness, but I think they got those two offensive linemen wrong.
That's
what I'm saying. I mean, in my eyes...
I think they like Nolan more than you do, you and Wolchuk.
They do. Yeah. They absolutely do. So, when you're reading these reports and stuff, try and do your own work if you can. Go on there. There's YouTube ways of getting these games. You have to watch highlights, but you can get an idea if these guys can play or not play. And just make your own adjustment because sometimes you pay for this service and it's really, really good in a lot of ways. In other ways, it could maybe paint the wrong picture for some of these guys.
There he goes. Brian Broaddus, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, every day at 3:40 here on The Fan. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, top Rangers news, including the end of an era in baseball broadcasting. Could this be a threat to the popularity of America's pastime? We'll discuss that coming up next here to the G-Bag Nation. On your home of the Rangers, we'll also give you the exciting conclusion to spring training game number one when we return right here to the G-Bag Nation, The Fan.